Well, Daniel chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. The book of Daniel chapter 3. At issue this morning is this. Do you believe that God's plan for your life is best? Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, all the important people, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let's skip down to verse 12. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" A young father saw a statue of Jesus that he liked. So he purchased it and took it home. He put it on a table in the entryway of his house. His wife didn't like it there, naturally. And so she put it in the bedroom. After a couple of weeks, she moved it to the den. She really didn't like it there, so she picked it up and was moving it once again. She was met by her husband and little boy. There was an uneasy silence, to be broken by the little boy who asked, "Can't we decide what to do with Jesus?" In our lesson this morning, Nebuchadnezzar is not quite sure what to do with God, But the heroes in our story certainly knew. We live in a society that's not too strong on principles and not too strong on commitment. As we talked about last week, we are waging a war on absolutes. Situation ethics is the norm. Pragmatism rules. Our only concern is, does it work? Keep your options open. We have made the Ten Commandments the Ten Suggestions. A man asked me recently, "You mean to tell me, Reverend Gray, that fornication is still a sin?" Yes, we do. We don't have many commitment models in our society of morals, of honesty, of hard work, of loving God. One of the great joys of reading your Bible and the stories of men and women who loved God and they would not compromise no matter what. You think about Job facing 10 fresh graves. His wealth is gone. His health is gone. His wife is gone. And he said, "Though he slay me," folks, that's all that was left, "yet will I trust him." Joseph was a long way from home, face to face with a beautiful seductress, left his coat in her hand and said, "I will not do this great wickedness and sin against God." Paul had suffered the loss of all things, and he counted them but refuse so that he might win Christ. Perhaps no one faced a greater test of commitment than the three young men in our text. You talk about profiles in courage, put them at the top of the list. They were prisoners of war with Nebuchadnezzar as a 21-year-old general swept through Israel and took 75 or so of the elite in Israel back to Babylon to be put in training as wise men and servants to the king. From the beginning of their arrival, their character was tested. Their names were changed. Their language was changed. But their character remained the same. They would not defile themselves with meat offered to idols or drink wine. They knew the commandments of God. So they challenged the steward and said, "Put us to the test. Just serve us vegetables and water and see how we are at the end of 10 days. And they were all better. In chapter 2 is a dream. Nebuchadnezzar could not remember the dream, but demanded of the wise men the dream and the interpretation. If they couldn't do that, they would be killed and their houses made public restrooms. Daniel interpreted the dream. And then in chapter 3, three young men are singled out to stand alone against the entire Babylonian kingdom and the king. So I have some thoughts this morning. First of all, they would not bow. There was an idol to an earthly king in the plain of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar decided to build an object of worship. The dimensions were 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. Most scholars believe that it was a spire with the statue of Nebuchadnezzar on top. It would be built of wood and covered in gold. And then on a special day, all of the important people in the known world were brought to Babylon to dedicate the idol. Everything was planned. Everything was ready. The royal orchestra, the royal handshakers, it was time. And the rules were simple. When the orchestra plays, everyone is to bow down and worship the idol. Worship is used 11 times in this chapter. There is no mistaking the king's intention, which were three. First of all, it was to signify a deification of Nebuchadnezzar. He had a big ego. He could strut sitting down. He would send his mother congratulations cards on his birthday. He had accomplished some things. He was a mighty monarch. He was a great motivator. He was a master builder. He ruled the world. He had never lost a battle as a general. His exploits are recorded in secular history. He was also very religious. Second of all, it was also a deification of man. The statue was 60 cubits wide and 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. 6 is always the number of man. It is secular humanism at its highest, which was this: we have no need of God, we have ourselves. Nebuchadnezzar was the first world ruler of a Gentile kingdom. There is one more coming, and his number is 666. Third, it was the deification of a nation. That makes good sense politically, because religion is a unifying source. The Caesars understood that. Once a year, you gave a pinch of incense to Caesar, along with three words: Caesar is Lord. If you refused, you were killed. Nazi Germany also practiced that. So Nebuchadnezzar, man, and a nation were all powerful. Adding Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon to your many gods was no problem for the populace. And so on that given day, hundreds of thousands of people bow down. All except three. And boy, did they stand out. They did not bow because of a commitment to a heavenly king. These three boys had been raised in a time of revival in Israel under good King Josiah and the prophet Jeremiah. They knew the law of God. They knew the will of God. They knew the principles of life. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse 1. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. These three boys could bow down and make life a whole lot easier, but they could not bow down and keep their commitment to Almighty God. Today, no one is messing with our minds about bowing down to a 90-foot image. But what about the third commandment? You are not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Even if you shorten it on your computer, even if you shorten it on your cell phone and just put OMG, what a shame. Second of all, they would not bend. Nebuchadnezzar had some motivation to bow down. You would be cremated alive. Nothing like some external pressure to test your internal principles. You don't decide at a time like this what your principles are. You decide that alone with God and your conscience. And then you stand. These three had reasons to bow down. Nebuchadnezzar had been good to them. It was senseless to resist. It's just an idol. It really doesn't mean anything. Everybody else is doing it. We'll just have to do it once. We'll not have to do it again. They did not bend because of a positive faith in God. Let's pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3 once again. They also had what I have called through the years a but if not clause to their life. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They're basically saying, our mind's made up. We've already settled it. We've already settled this issue. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And then that next part is just an appositive. We'll come back and read that in a second. But let's just go from he's able to deliver us from a burning fiery furnace. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now let's go back and read the entire thing. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, either take our life or protect us. Either one. But if not, If God doesn't deliver us out of your hand, King, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Okay. My last thought is this. They would not burn. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen, their breeches, and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Let me tell you something, folks. There is a wonderful ending to this story. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, oh boy, you gotta love this. Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors and captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people and nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. for us today. God says, I beseech ye therefore by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is still fellowship in the fire. You know what made the difference? Courage and commitment. Principles hammered out on the anvil of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we love your Word. We love the book of Daniel. We love the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, Father, I pray that each one of us, we would read the story and we would understand what you are telling each one of us today. And that is to love you and to trust you and to serve you no matter what. So, Father, help us to do it, each one of us. This next week, we will be presented with opportunities to serve you or not. Father, help us to serve you. Help us to obey you. Help us to trust you with all our heart and all our mind. And all our soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.